The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
This is Jason Witter, author, illustrator of Tiny East Vampire and Monsters Eating Ice Cream, and you are listening to Aaron's Horror Show.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show Season 2, where we talk about some movies and read some fiction. If you want to go ahead and get a hold of the show, you can always contact me at Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook or Aaron Horror Show on Twitter or Aaron's Horror Show at gmail.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. Oh, man. Don't ever break your leg. Recovery takes a while. I'm just to the point where I could kind of like hobble around my house without a walker. And I actually was able to hobble a little bit at work today without a walker. But man, it's slow going. I just kind of can't wait to the point where I just kind of can walk without, you know, support or feeling like I gotta, you know, lean on the wall or, you know, all sorts of stuff. You know, just a day without pain, that'd be nice. But yeah, so, you know, recovery's going good. I'm learning to walk again, and just thought I'd kind of update you with that. Christmas Elf is almost done, and then you know, I started Orion a little bit back, so, you know, that I think that's the one I'm going to read next after Christmas Elf is over. But before we read any stories, I'm going to go ahead and talk about a series today, a series on Netflix called Black Summer. If you're a fan of the show or a fan of Black Summer and you've already seen it, then welcome. If you haven't seen it yet and you'd like to see it, spoilers. I always talk about spoilers on my show and don't really hold anything back. I don't know, for me, I always picture the show as a, you know, an evening where you're just, you know, you just recently watched a movie and you're hanging out with a couple friends and talking about it. Except, really, I'm just, you know, the only one talking. So, anyways, Black Summer. So it's zombies. It's more Dawn of the Dead-like zombies than Night of the Living Dead zombies. So, you know, if you are a fan of the zombie genre, or at least know the zombie history, Night of the Living Dead, of course, was one of the first zombie movies with zombies that are essentially undead or, you know, living corpses that eat brains and whatnot. That in fact, I don't even know if they ate brains at that point in that movie. It's been a while since I've seen that one. Either way, the headshot is you know, where that comes from, and that's you know, they're very slow moving, the zombies, you know, more like Walking Dead type of zombies where they kind of shamble and don't walk very well. And then there's Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead is George Romero, I believe, and the zombies in that movie just book it. So they just run as fast as, you know, humanly possible. So, you know, if you, I don't know, had an Olympian runner that got turned into a zombie, you better watch out. You're not running away from that zombie. So, you know, the zombies go as fast as they can. And, you know, there's something to be said for the scariness of both. And of course, I think most people agree that the Dawn of the Dead type of zombies, the ones that could run really fast, are a little bit more scary because you get in a situation with them and you know, you have to run because they can run really fast. And so, you know, that's what really keeps up the pace of Black Summer. Although, I have to hand it to them, the first 15 minutes of, like, the first episode was really good and really kind of tense, and there wasn't a single zombie in it. So for, you know, a series that kind of centers around the zombie apocalypse, to not have a zombie until, like, basically one of the characters turns in the first episode, I think that's actually kind of good storytelling right there. But the funny thing is, I think there was some good storytelling in it, and then there was some kind of okay storytelling. Like, so they had some really good moments in the series, but then they had some other moments that were just sort of like, I don't know, it felt like it was just trying to set up the next scene rather than actually kind of like really exploring the idea, you know, like the first episode was really good, so I had really high hopes for it, and then it just kind of flattened out a little bit for me. I you know, by the end I was like, yeah, it wasn't the best zombie series I've seen, but it by far wasn't the worst, and they really did keep that good sense of action-packedness going throughout the entire series. So it's a very action-packed adventure series through this kind of zombie apocalypse with fast-running zombies, so obviously that's going to be really action-packed. But there's a lot of moments throughout it that you just kind of, you know, step out of the it kind of forces you to step out of the series and go, why did they do that, you know? And I don't, you know, especially when you're thinking about a post-apocalyptic series or, you know, anything involving zombies, you don't want people to stop and sort of start, like, analyzing the the motivations of characters. You just want to kind of take it that that's what they're doing. A good example is there's this one point where some of the characters are driving in a car and this pickup truck starts to follow them, and then eventually the pickup truck, like, you know, tries to knock them off the road, and that eventually ends up where they crash and a person from the pickup truck dies and another person from their, you know, vehicle dies, and they become zombies and they get trapped in a diner with the people that were trying to run them off the road. And you know, it's kind of a neat setup, but the weird thing is they didn't really fully explain why they were trying to ram them off the road. In the sense, like, at one point they said, they're here for our gas, like, they're trying to steal the gas. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, there's tons of abandoned cars everywhere. Like they're going around this town with, like abandoned cars. Like, if you needed gas, why, you know, like, I just have to think, like, if I was in that situation, am I gonna ram someone off the road for their gas, or am I just gonna go siphon off from any of the number of vehicles, or maybe find a gas station, you know what I mean? Like, this is not too far out from the start of the zombie apocalypse, according to the series, so there should be gas, just, like, plenty of gas everywhere. Like, if I were, yeah, I just didn't buy that motivation. And then later on, they make it sound like, oh, it was just the crazy dude that was in their party wanting to do that. And I don't know, it's just not a solid motivation. Like I get that in the zombie apocalypse, you're going to have humans that are going to try and, like, steal the stuff of other humans or whatever. But that's only in situations where the stuff is not, you know, abundant or easy to get, or, you know what I mean? Like, in this situation, like, they were literally in this town that seemed relatively untouched. I mean, there was, like, an unlooted grocery store in the middle of town. So, like, you know, if it's an unlooted grocery store, then probably everything else is unlooted too, because, you know, that's probably, well, grocery stores, I'm guessing they would go first, you know? I'm guessing when the looting begins in a zombie apocalypse, grocery stores is one of the first things to go, you know? Like, personally speaking, I know this is, like, you know, might be gross, but hey, it's nutrition. Like if you're in the zombie apocalypse and you're like not finding food, then go to the pet store, man. Like, there's a lot of pet food. Like my cats have this like stuff called Tiki Cat, and I don't know if anyone ever has Tiki Cat, but man, like whenever I open a can of that stuff, I'm like, man, Tiki Cat actually looks pretty good. Like, I bet I could eat that, you know? So, you know, zombie apocalypse, go to a pet store. There'll be tons of food there. No one will think of it, you know? Of course, now I'm talking about it, so just, you know, screwed myself over in the event of a zombie apocalypse. All the pet stores will be looted, too. But anyways, here nor there, man. But yeah, I'm just thinking that, you know, there's no real motivation to rob someone in this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Set up as they have it, you know, unless you're trying to get a, like, if that you're trying to rob someone because you see they have a gun or something useful, you know, but ramming someone off the road for their gas or whatever, that just, I just don't buy it, you know. Like, I just think there's like so many more easy ways to do it, you know. Like, especially when there's all this stuff like just there for the taking. Like, they're in an unlooted town where for some reason all the residents are gone and the only people that are left are these few people that are trying to get to the stadium, and everything else just seems to be there for the taking. So, and it's also relatively zombie free. It's really interesting that, for some reason, there's not the most of the zombies that appear in the series are people that die for whatever reason, up until the end when it just kind of gets, you know, crazy and whatnot. And that brings me to another weird moment where they hear about this outpost that has a bunch of guns, and so they're going to go loot it to get these weapons. And I find that they, in the scene where they're looting the outpost, it just, their plan didn't really make a lot of sense, in the sense that it felt like it was like a bunch of screenwriters like trying to make a really cool episode, but not really thinking like, what would they really know about this outpost, you know? Like it felt like they had a really good idea of where the guns were and the layout, and they had all these complicated steps, like one person was going to get the power and these other people were going to go for the weapons and this other person was going to be a distraction, and then inexplicably this other person, like, maybe I missed it, but she like decides to knife a dude and cause a zombie outbreak in like this thing. And I don't know if that was part of their plan, was to like kill everybody there, but that's what she ended up doing, because she, these are fast zombies, right? They run. So, you know, when you're in a crowded space and one person turns into a zombie, that eventually means everyone's going to be a zombie, right? So it's, yeah, I don't know. It was a very funny scene, or just a odd episode, because it was, you know, like it felt like a heist that was like really thought out and planned, but when you think about the situation, like, when would they have time to have planned this out or do reconnaissance or like figure, you know what I mean? Like there should have been more like, oh, we want to steal these guns. We know they're there, but there should have been more like, we have no idea what we're doing because we don't know what this place looks like on the inside. We don't know how many people are there. We don't even know quite where the weapons are, you know, like there should have been more, I don't know, just, as far as like not taking one out of the world. Anyways, I'm harping on kind of very small points. I think it's a really intense series. I think what's really good about it is I feel they keep you on your toes, in the sense that you really don't know who's going to survive and who's not. They have some characters that come out very surprising, like you think that they are one way and they turn out to be another, and the main person, she's kind of the main character who is there to get her daughter. She's very believable and very good at that role, and you know, overall, it's definitely worth watching. There's some clunky moments in it, but I think it's definitely like worth a second season. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, to see how they kind of, what else they do with the series, because you know, I think there was some clunkiness in this first season, but you know, it's also the first season. I think like a lot of TV series that turn out to be really, really great TV series have a little bit of clunkiness in their first season. Like, I think that's just kind of how it goes. it's you know, I'm sure a lot of it just has to do with like, you don't know what the series is going to be like until you start doing it, and then suddenly, oh, there it is. That's the series it's supposed to be all along. So that's why the first season is like that. So, but I think it has a lot of potential. So I think like I would definitely watch the second season, and I think I definitely would give it another chance and say, hey, this has everything. It has all the DNA and all the stuff that can make it a really good series and contend with The Walking Dead as far as being just one of those really great zombie series that everyone should see, you know, like if you like zombies, I think you'll definitely like Black Summer. If you like The Walking Dead, I think you'll like Black Summer. Although I would definitely say that The Walking Dead, at least in its heyday, has, you know, really done really well, and it's hard to compare this series because it's just a little different, but I would definitely want to see where it goes from here and you know, see how everything unfolds in the series, and you know, hopefully maybe in the second season you'll see less stuff that's just kind of a plot device to move the plot forward. You know, you'll see more stuff that is really kind of, I don't know, like where just the motivations make sense. You know, that's what I want to see. It's just character motivations that I can be, oh yeah, that makes sense. I could see them robbing them, whatever, for that reason. Okay. But anyways, here nor there, let's, that's it. Black Summer. Go ahead and give it a shot. It's on Netflix. I would recommend it. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. You guys are all amazing. I'm really glad to, you know, share my thoughts with you, and I hope I can turn you on to some good stuff every once in a while, not just warn you away from the bad stuff, but you know, let you know when something's worth watching, like Black Summer, worth watching. Give it a shot. And there's lots of fun stuff also on the RPA Network. There's, of course, Real Paranormal Activity. There's Terry's Mysterious Moments. There's The Sandman's Lullaby. And then, of course, we have some video shows as well. So there's lots of fun stuff going on. Go ahead and check it out. There's an app. So you can go check out the RPA app and download all the podcasts you want. And, yeah, thank you so much for listening, and have a good night. Hey, this is Aaron here. I totally forgot something in the review that I wanted to talk about. So this is like a bonus scene at the end of the credits, you know, kind of like in the Marvel movies where they have something, you know, at the end. Well, here's my little end for Black Summer. I totally forgot about the fact that it kind of like irked me a little how like nobody seemed to have seen a zombie movie in the series. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like there's a one point where they're talking about how they're going to attack the zombie and what they're going to do to, you know, like kill the zombie. And, you know, one of them says, let's go for the head. And they say, no, the legs, man, the legs will make it so it can't chase us, you know, take it out at the legs. And I was just like sitting there thinking, you know, like, has any of these people seen a zombie movie? Everyone knows you got to take them out with a headshot, you know, like I could understand that, not everyone's really accurate, especially, in a stressful situation. You don't really know how to handle a gun, I could get that it might take a couple shots to bring one down if you're not trained or something like that. But, you gotta understand that, people have seen zombie movies. you can't just make a zombie movie now and not acknowledge the fact that, people have never seen this in their life before. So, I think there's something to be said for that, where learning how to kill a zombie, people watch movies, man. And so I think, if I were ever to do a zombie thing and I wanted it to, be a little bit different, maybe the headshot's not the way you bring them down, or maybe they're just really hard to kill, like you cut off their head and they'll keep coming. Maybe I make a point where the characters are like, all right, headshot, man, that's how they do it in the movies. And then they do the headshot and like the zombie keeps coming and it's like, oh, okay. I don't know how to take out this thing now, So, it didn't seem to acknowledge that fact that, zombie movies exist. We don't live in a bubble, man. Anyways, just thought I'd add that on. All right. Have a good night.